Hello everyone, and welcome to J Talk Extra Time. I'm James Taylor, and coming up in this episode, we've got a lot of J2 football to talk about, and joining me to do that is John Steele. Hi John, how are you?
Hi James, yeah, very well, thanks. I realise that at this point, we are about a quarter of a way through the J2 season already. I think half-time in round 10 last weekend was about, you know, the full 25%. So yeah, things are starting to take shape.
Yeah, that's a very specific statistic. Thanks for that.
We're not used to that. You know me.
Yeah, not, I was going to say, I'm not used to that amount of preparation or research. But that's a bit harsh. yeah. Well, as I said, we've got lots to talk about. So let's get stuck in. We're going to talk about four games from match day 10 because there were quite a few entertaining matches that took place, and we're going to start with the league leaders, Shimizu S-Pulse. They won 3-2 away to Iwaki. They were 2-0 up after 9 minutes, and Iwaki pulled one back. Shimizu made it 3-1. Iwaki got a late one, but they couldn't find an equaliser. It finished Iwaki 2, Shimizu 3. What did you think about this game?
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, Iwaki, it's fair to say, had a pretty hard time against Shimizu last season, didn't they? Was it 9-1 and 7-1? I think they ended
something
up losing.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, so only conceding three, they might be happy with that. They kind of closed the gap on Shimizu a little bit from last year. Obviously, if you're 2-0 down inside the first 9 minutes against the team that's at the top of the table, it's going to be hard to get back into it. So I think we've got to give Iwaki some credit. It was a nice goal to pull one back from Jun Nishikawa, that kind of curler from the edge of the box. And Iwaki, to be fair, they caused Shimizu a few problems, didn't they? I thought, you know, Shuichi Gonda, we've criticised earlier in the season, but he was excellent. He made some really good saves all the way through the game. I think where Iwaki will be kicking themselves is that third goal where they, it wasn't very good defending, was it? I think it's Sena Igarashi, the Iwaki defender. He's trying to shepherd the ball out for a goal kick at the byline, but obviously there's just not enough momentum on that ball to try that. And he had his pocket picked by Rayon Yamahara, who crossed for Koya Kitagawa to make it 3-1. That was midway through the second half, and I think that kind of, it didn't quite kill the game, but it was a real sucker punch for Iwaki. And Kaina Tanimura scored that nice volley late on to make it a 3-2 at the end. But yeah, Iwaki just gave themselves a bit too much to do, letting in those two early goals and then a kind of fairly silly third one. So Shimizu, again, impressive, sort of quietly impressive, you might say. Mm-hmm. Probably had enough chances and had enough quality to maybe score more goals and take this game away from Iwaki a bit sooner. I think if you're the manager, Akiba, you're going to be annoyed that game was in the balance right to the end when it really shouldn't have been. But it was really exciting stuff. And I know there's only 5,000 people or so in the stadium at Iwaki, but I think it was sold out. I think that's the capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was very, very raucous atmosphere came through on the TV. So I think everybody enjoyed the day out at the stadium, had some good entertainment. But yeah, Shimizu, they seem to be doing just enough to win games at the moment, don't they? Not really blowing anybody away. And if anybody was going to be blown away, you'd imagine it'd be Iwaki after last season. So yeah, I think the right team won, but Iwaki we're impressive again, even in defeat. So, James, you mentioned a preparation earlier. I did do some extra preparation this Ooh. Week. Shimizu are 10 points better off after 10 games than they were last season. Mm. So that's probably ominous for the rest of the league. I know they had that dreadful start last year, but yeah, they're plus 10 points from 10 rounds last season. Iwaki in 11th in the table. It's funny because I don't remember them didn't really feel like they had such a great start this year, but they also have 2 points more than they did after 10 games last season. So I think they'll be quietly satisfied to be in 11th and only narrowly losing to a very strong Shimizu team. How did you see it?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think at 2-0 down after 9 minutes, you've got to imagine Iwaki supporters having some terrible flashbacks, especially as Shimizu seemed to be getting behind their fullbacks at will, basically. Mm. And there was a moment at 2-0 where I think Shimizu had an opportunity to kill the game off or even open the floodgates and start another thrashing like last year. Because I think it was Kitagawa had the ball on the left side of the penalty area, and he could have played a short pass to Carlinhos Jr., who was free a few yards away, but instead he tried to chip across to the back post, and there was no teammate there. It was just a couple of Iraqi defenders who were able to clear. So I, if he'd passed it to Carlinhos, he probably would have scored. That would have been 3-0 after about 20 minutes or so. Mm. And I don't think Iwaki would have been able to get as close as they did. However, the fact that Iwaki were 2-0 down after 9 minutes, but stayed calm, kept playing their risky passes across their own goal without panicking more than they usually do, and managed to get back into the game, I think that is a huge positive for Iwaki. I think it should take a lot of confidence from that, and from the fact that, yeah, okay, they lost, but they only lost 3-2 to the team that scored so many goals past them last year. Still, yeah, defending needs work. That third goal, I actually thought it was quite funny to see a player try to shepherd the ball out like that and lose the tussle, because it's really annoying when players do that from really far away. It's obstruction and it never gets blown for a free kick. So the ultimate punishment is to concede a goal. So just desserts there, I think. Tanimura's volley was really nice, wasn't it? The second goal for Iwaki. That was good as well, because it came after they'd had a few minutes of pressure pushing to get their second goal. They had a few corners. They kept kind of Shimizu pinned back in their own area or in their own half. And yeah, he took that goal really well. He's doing a good job of leading their attack this year, Tanimura, after not such a great year last year, I think. I think he's doing really well at the moment. So yeah, a loss is obviously never great, but in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's a terrible thing for Iwaki. And like you said, they're up in 11th. After 10 rounds, which is probably very satisfying for everyone at the club, and especially the supporters. A sellout is always good. And Shimizu travel in force. Yeah, sellout crowd is excellent. It looked like a great atmosphere. It was a really entertaining game. So I'm sure all 5,000 and however many who were there enjoyed it to varying extents. So yeah, a good game, a good one to get us kicked off in this episode as well. Next, let's talk about the team in second, Nagasaki. They had a walk in the park at Transcosmos. They beat Tokushima Vortis 6-1. Now you, John, last week you predicted Daiki Watari would score in the 90th minute, and he did, unfortunately. Nagasaki had already scored their 6 goals. But apart from that, so well done. Well done to you. You and Nagasaki, the big winners from round 10, I think. What else did you think about this game?
There's quite a lot to unpack here, so I'll be brief. I think, you know, that the tone was pretty much set in the fourth minute, wasn't it, when Nagasaki went in front. Jose Suarez, we know he's a good goalkeeper for Tokushima, but he spilled a shot from, I think, Masaru Kato that left a tap in for Edgar Junior for 1-0. 2-0 after 12 minutes, Edgar Junior heading in a corner. He didn't even have to jump to head the ball in, because nobody was close enough to him. No defender was close enough. Right at the start of the second half, you'd think after conceding a goal early on in the first half, you know, they'd be wary of that, Tokushima, but they conceded again right at the start of the second. Edgar Junior completing a hat-trick from Shunya Yonu's cross. I think my favourite goal was the 4-0 goal from Tsubasa Kasayanagi. Mm. Absolutely beautiful volley that looked very easy, but it clearly wasn't. Matias Jesus, our player of the season so far, he rattled the post. It was nearly 5. And I think if you're 4-0 down with about 20 minutes left, you don't really want to see Juanma Delgado coming off the bench, do you? But he did, and he scored twice. The first one, I don't think I've ever used this combination. Juanma rolled his marker and then sped away from him into the penalty area to score. I think that is, I don't want to reduce Tokushima's problems down to one moment, but you don't really see Juanma kind of rolling people and accelerating away from them too often. There was a big long ball over the back line. Juanma looked like he might have been offside, but I think even the linesman doesn't believe that Tokushima are capable of playing anybody offside, So he was allowed to go through and score for 6-0. And then, yeah, my prediction came true. Daiki Watari pulled a goal back for Tokushima late on, but the damage was just about done. And then we'll talk about Nagasaki first and be positive, James. 8 games unbeaten for them. They're 2 points ahead of third place, which is a pretty good run. I think everybody will be happy there. Last season, they had 17 points after 10 games. I think they're on 21 now, so they're improved. They're 4 points better off. That's the positive stuff out of the way. Tokushima, they're bottom. They only have 5 points, but funnily enough, they only had 5 points after 10 games last season. And also, they hadn't won. Yeah, they didn't win until round 12 last year, and they already have a win this year. So if we want to put some kind of a, you know, PR spin on it, they've improved from last season. But yeah, this was absolutely awful from them defensively. Players looked, I wouldn't say they looked disinterested, but they looked demoralised, disorganised. They obviously just wanted to be back down the tunnel and back on the team bus pretty much from kickoff. Which I think is a bit unacceptable. The kind of biggest, the most passion I saw was them arguing with the linesman that the sixth goal should have been offside. You know, it's a bit late to start wanting to roll your sleeves up at that point, I'm afraid. And yeah, as it stands, they looked absolutely ragged. Nagasaki were extremely impressive, but they didn't have to do too much to get the win. As it stands, Tokushima are going down playing like that. And I believe they might have a new manager in the offing, haven't they? Perhaps you could tell us a bit about those rumours.
Yeah, well, before we get onto that, my thoughts on this game, I don't think we learned anything new about these teams, to be perfectly honest. I think we just got confirmation that they are so far apart in ability, mentality, tactics, and off-field decisions. Just the way Nagasaki sliced through Tokushima defense so easily, time and time again, was partly showed us just how good Nagasaki are, and partly was a sad indictment of everything that is happening at Tokushima and that has been happening at Tokushima for the last year or so. I enjoyed watching Tsubasa Kasayanagi. I thought the way he terrorized, particularly El Sino on the right side of Tokushima's defense, was quite exciting, quite an exciting young player. And his goal was really good. Juanma's goal that you described as well, I thought he took that really well. I liked the way he actually kind of like shimmied around a couple of defenders and dinked it when he scored his goal. It was really nice. I only saw the highlights of this, but what was, I think, also quite revealing was that the only attacking highlight Tokushima had was their goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that means they didn't attack at all for the rest of the, or couldn't attack at all for the rest of the game, but that is in itself quite concerning. But you mentioned their possible new manager. Now, they were started going around on Twitter this thing that Juan Eschneider last seen rescuing Yamaguchi, but I'll come back to that in a minute. Last seen as manager of Yamaguchi last year, started following Tokushima on Twitter or Instagram or something.
Instagram, I think. Yeah, he's trendy. He's one of the trendy ones.
Right. Okay. Well, also, what's interesting, Tokushima, their official Twitter account didn't tweet anything for a couple of days, and then I started just putting out like stuff about the youth teams and stuff. There'd be no like content about the senior men's team, the first team at all. But yeah, I was wondering, are they in a hopeless situation? Like bottom of the league, they have only won once in their first 10 games. They are leaking goals. Now, with Juan Eschneider, Yamaguchi were at a similarly low ebb last year, although I don't think they were in quite such a dreadful run of form. But he did just enough to keep them up. He definitely tightened their defence, especially initially, because they went 6 games unbeaten. In the end, they got 25 points from 23 games. But I checked, when he took over after match day 19, Yamaguchi were 20th. And they finished in 20th. So I'm not sure what he really did. I mean, they might have stayed in 20th with the guy who was there before, Natsuka. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, Tokushima want to tighten up their defence, but I mean, surely maybe there's someone who can tighten up the defence and sort out the attack as well. I don't know if Schneider's the man or if he's just a guy who happens to be available. But Roy Hodgson and Alan Kerbishley are available too. Hodgson can coach a defence.
I think it takes an interesting kind of thought process to look at Tokushima. For example, just taking the highlights from that Nagasaki game and thinking to yourself, what this team needs is Hannes Schneider. That's not the logical, it's not my logical go-to. Like you said, I think they need more like, if you Tokisaki's free, for example, or even Kazuaki Tasaka. I don't know why I'm going for Tochigi managers.
Because Tochigi have had a decent, a couple of weeks ago they got thrashed, but for the most part, as we talked about last week, over the last few years, Tochigi, when you think of Tochigi, you think of good defence.
I think for Tokushima, right on the back of those highlights, you would say they're doomed. But if you look at the league table, they're not adrift. You know, there's a couple of teams that have had dreadful starts down at the bottom with them. Playing the way they're playing, they're going down, no question. But it is retrievable, I think, if they make a good choice for manager. Hannes Schneider, nothing against him personally. Quite a big bloke, obviously. Wouldn't want to bump into him. Having said something bad about him in a dark alley, or perhaps on the roof of a Fukuda Denshi Arena, where he popped up from time to time when he was Jeff manager. But I'm not really sure what problem he solves other than being a new manager. They're obviously going to hire somebody, because the guy that's been in caretaker charge, you know, the results have not improved at all. And the real problem is probably the players, and they can't all be changed. So I think it seems likely they're going to bring someone in. It might be Hannes Schneider. We will see. He does have a track record, proven track record in J2. It's not a particularly impressive one. But I suppose for Tokushima, the only way is up at the moment, isn't it? So whoever they hire is going to give them some new impetus. I'd be more tempted to just either go for someone that can coach a defence. For sure, like aforementioned, managers who might be available. Or just accept that this season is kind of going to be a bit of a roller coaster. Maybe give a Yuki Stalf a try. If he wants to get back into management, they have gone for left field appointments before. Danny Poyatos, for example. Benar Labayan. They do have. It seemed like there was a method to the madness, which is now unravelled. But we'll see. But
window, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they're going to hire someone. It might be Hannes Schneider. I mean, to be fair to the front office, they've got to do something. Because this isn't the first battering they've had this season, is it? Obviously, it was in the Levan Cup with a kind of reserve team, but they went for 5-1. Was it 5-1 at Nagano?
5-1 on the opening day.
5-1 on the opening day against Kofu. Yeah, so three Tonkings in 2 months is not acceptable. So they've got to do something. We'll see what they do. But I do think, not to sound like an disappointed parent, but I think the players' body language pretty poor, attitude pretty poor. There are some good players in that team, and the defending in particular was really poor. They basically were phoning it in once it was 3-0, I think, on the weekend. So they do need to step up as well. It doesn't really matter who the manager is. I think one or two players. I mean, El Sino has pedigree. No, he can do better. Thiago Alves, there's lots of players who can, really kind of pull the team forward if they can just get it together. So we will see. But yeah, Nagasaki, they probably would have beaten Tokushima anyway. I think the manner of the defeat is what's going to upset Tokushima supporters. But yeah, Nagasaki traveling really well.
I think Tokushima are now in the Omiya spiral, where you replace the manager every summer or spring, and whoever you bring in does just enough for a while, and then you have to do the same thing the following year. With Omiya, they bring in someone who can sort the defence. Like, they brought in Naoki Soma, didn't they? That worked for a little bit, but not that much in the end. And then the defence is good, but the attack stops working. Oh, we've got to bring in someone who can get the attack going. And then, although Omiya never got thrashed quite as frequently as Tokushima have, just in this season alone. But let's move on, because although we didn't actually learn anything new about those teams, we still talked about them for quite a long time. Now, another entertaining game in Kumamoto. Kumamoto 3, Kofu 3, Kumamoto... The crash of Kumamoto doing a lot of damage here. What What were your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I think my initial thoughts are, I think I've decided the best value J2 ticket this season must be at Kumamoto or Ehime. That seems to be where you get the most goals at both ends of the pitch, first half and second half. The start of this game and the entire first half was absolute chaos. I mean, if you subscribe, you know, life is chaos, football is chaos, and attempts to impose order on it are sort of ultimately doomed to failure. The first half certainly seemed to, you know, indicate that, didn't it? I think Kumamoto, they had this, well, Kofu had a corner in the fifth minute. There was a mad goal-mouth scramble. It looked like Kumamoto had done just enough to avoid the danger, but then the ball ran loose to Adailton. He just rasped it in, you know, for 1-0. Then in the 11th minute, it was 1-1. Yuhi Takemoto, I think this is the first game he's played all season, coming back from injury. So nice to see him back and scoring on his return. The stadium announcer was literally still announcing that goal when Kofu went back in front with Takuto Kimura's low shot from the edge of the box. That gives you some idea of what was going on. And then Kofu had to change goalkeepers, didn't they? Tsubasa Shibuya went off and Kodai Yamauchi came on in his place. Kumamoto then pulled level at 2-2. Wataru Iwashita with a very, very well-taken sort of flashing header from a right-wing cross from Omoto. And then it seemed like we could relax and you know, reflect on a 2-2 at half-time. But in the eighth minute of first half stoppage time, Kofu then went in front again. It was Kazuhiro Sato's free kick being tipped onto the crossbar. Great save by Ryuga Tashiro. But Kumamoto just don't have any luck at the back, do they, this season? The ball dropped perfectly on the line. Then Kazushi Mitsuhira, funny hair himself, made it 3-2. Second half was a lot more sedate, thankfully. But with about 10 minutes left, you mentioned the crash, and it wasn't Kumashiro this time, but an 18-year-old Kumamoto forward, Yutaka Michiweki. He too came and fairly lashed the ball into the roof of the net from the edge of the box for his first pro goal, and that meant it was 3-3 at the end. So yeah, chaotic stuff. I think we learned that Kumamoto can attack and defend, but not at the same time. They have to pick one. And Kofu are probably going to finish fifth or sixth or seventh because they seem to, that they sort of had this game won three times, and then they've had to come back to Yamanashi with just a single point. So crazy stuff. I've got stats, James. I'll reel off the stats and I'll bring you in. Kofu are 2 points worse off than 2023 after 10 rounds, so I would call that par. And similar for Kumamoto, they're 14th. They have 1 point fewer than they did at this stage last season. So I'd say they're doing about as expected. Just Kumamoto, I seem to notice they always have like high scoring games. They've scored 15 times in their 10 games this season. That's only one less than the leaders, Shimizu S-Pulse. But they've conceded 21, which is the same as Tokushima, rock bottom. Only Tochigi have conceded more. And that it takes into account they had the 8-0 shellacking at Jeff Chiba, of course, a couple of rounds ago. So Kumamoto, it's not hard to see where their strengths and weaknesses lie. And Kofu will be really disappointed they didn't close this game out and get the win. But how did you see it, James?
Yeah, well, take the lead three times, but give it up three times. You've got to be unhappy about that. But it's their own fault. But that's not good enough from a Kofu perspective of a team that's pushing for promotion. For Kumamoto, their defense really need to sort that out. The goals against statistic is pretty damning, isn't it? And like to concede immediately after you've equalized as well, they're still announcing the goal. Goal announcements don't take that long. They didn't clear the ball properly for the first, conceding straight after scoring. It's not good. So they need to sort that out. And I know they're quite a young team, as evidenced by the fact they keep having goals scored by children. he says the bitter old man. I think it's clear what Kumamoto need to work on. Their attack is fine. Their academy is fine. Their youth system seems fine. So they're producing good players. They just need to tidy up the defence. And I don't know if that's systems or if it's just concentration. But there's something needs to be done there. For Kofu, a little bit inconsistent. Still seventh somehow. the mystery of Kofu, the Kofu conundrum, I suppose. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, there we go. That's conundrum with a K, obviously. And they're the substitute goalie as well. He was a product of the Kofu Academy, Yamauchi. So I think, although not happy that Shibuya had to go off injured, I think you know, it'd be pleasing to see a, like a homegrown player come on. I'm not sure if what's happened to Kohei Kawata. I guess maybe he's injured again. He's not involved. But I thought Shibuya had been doing quite well. So they'll be concerned about that. Hopefully it's not a serious injury, but you know, he bumped his hand on an opponent's head or on a defender's head.
Yeah, I didn't see what happened. It wasn't in the highlights. Assume it was something fairly innocuous. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he came to catch a cross and collided with one or two other players. I can't remember if it was a defender or an attacker, but he didn't catch it, and the other player went down for a while. I think a bump in the head or something like that. And yeah, in the end, Shibuya had to go off with his holding his hand. So.
Right, that explains the lengthy injury time at the end of the first half then,
Yeah, so that, another good entertaining game from Kumamoto. Their home form is still a bit dodgy, and that's been the case for the last few years, I think, really. But, right, we've got one more game to talk about. Renofa Yamaguchi, flying high in sixth, beat Zaspa Gunma, who are wallowing away in 19th, 4-0. This was pretty comfortable for Yamaguchi, I think. But, well, what were your thoughts on this one?
You're just thinking about Gunma coach Tsuyoshi Otsuki. I know he was cleared of any power harassment allegations recently, but he might be considering taking part in some power harassment after the first half. Yamaguchi scored in the third minute, but it came about when Ryo Sato... Gunma midfielder, he was trying to clear a corner, but he ended up heading it against his own post. And that left Kota Kawano with a tap-in on the goal line. Kota Kawano, not the most prolific striker, but if you do leave him, you know, on the goal line with the ball, he'll score in minutes if you don't get across to him. So he put Yamaguchi in front. The game was then kind of sort of, you know, in the balance, but in the 55th minute, Gunma... very carelessly, they had a throw-in inside the Yamaguchi half, and I don't know who took it, but they just flung it as hard as they could at a teammate who wasn't ready, and Yamaguchi were able to get the ball. Well, I say win the ball back. You know, they got the ball back quite easily, and then they did a kind of quick. I think Japanese fans call this a short counter, but basically a counter attack. And Yamato Wakatsuki, he sent Kawano racing clear, and he had a beautiful kind of chipped dink shot over the keeper to make it 2-0. 10 minutes later, Tsubasa Umeki made it 3. He again wasn't really challenged when he was kind of advancing on the Gunma goal, and he fired it in off the post just inside the penalty area for 3-0. Kawano then nearly had a hat trick, but he headed against the base of the post. And then in stoppage time, the fourth goal came from birthday boy Kawasaki Loni Tayo Igarashi. He fired in from about 12 yards. So yeah, fairly. I don't think it was comfortable really until the second goal went in. But once he was 2-0, I think Gunma have only scored, is it 4 goals or 5 goals in 10 matches? So then they're probably not going to come back from 2-0 down. And Yamaguchi were able to, again, they were impressive. And they, if you contrast how much they seem to enjoy playing football at the moment with like the faces of the Tokushima players, for example, you start to get the feeling Yamaguchi might actually be building some serious momentum. They're sixth in the table. They already have 4 wins this season, and they're 4 points better off than after 10 games last year. So actually, they started well last season as well. We should probably keep in mind. Gunma, it's all pretty bad news, isn't it? James, 1 win in 10, only 5 goals scored. You can imagine that a coach can probably survive some power harassment claims, but cannot survive too long without getting a few more wins. So I think it's going to be a big few weeks for Gunma and Tsuyoshi Otsuki. Gunma had 17 points after 10 games last season. So they're 11 points worse off. So I think that gives you an indication of, you know, things not going well at all. The only other note, James, before I come back to you, the attendance at this game was exactly 4,000, 4,000, which is incredibly pleasing for people like me who have OCD. So, yeah, fantastic.
Are you the sort of person who cheers when the mileometer in the car ticks over to, like, all the zeros?
Yeah, and I can't get out of bed unless it's the time is a multiple of 5. So if I sleep on until 8:01, I have to wait until 8:05 to actually get out of bed. So, perhaps we can use some of the Patreon money for therapy one day. I don't know. But yeah, it was really nice to see the attendance with the 3-0s. But what did you think of the match?
I thought that Gunma try very hard, but they really lack any quality finishing up front. And they don't seem to have much of a focal point to their attacks or much idea of what they actually want to do going forward. So most of their attacks seem to just peter out into nothing. Everything half decent that they did came down the left through Kawakami, but they're too one-dimensional. Apart from that, nothing else seems to work. There doesn't seem to be any spark, creative spark, or anyone who can, you know, produce a moment of magic to open up the defence or, you know, find a teammate making a good run. Are the teammates even making good runs? I don't know. Doesn't seem like it.
Mm.
Whereas, in contrast, Yamaguchi are playing this really vibrant, joyful football. They seem to be having so much fun. And, you know, that comes with results, but the results come with the way that you play, right? So I think that it's a virtuous circle for them. And the impression I get of Yamaguchi at the moment is that the manager Shigaki is trying to play in a similar way to how Natsuka played, the manager before Snyder. Mm. But he's being a bit more pragmatic. So he seems he's not afraid for the team to play long balls when they need to. Whereas I think the impression I had of Natsuka was that he only wanted to play the beautiful short passing game. And that was his downfall, I think, in the end. Whereas at the moment, you're still getting Yamaguchi producing good opportunities through just lumping a long ball forward to a striker or someone making a run. It's working really well. Mm. And playing with confidence. They're getting luck as well. That first goal, I don't think Kawano was even looking at the ball. Was he facing the opposite direction? Just bounced off his leg and went in. But that sort of thing happens when you're in a good run of form. You get the lucky bounces, right? And on the inverse, the opposite of that is Gunma, an unlucky bounce. I think it grazed the bar and Ryo Sato, he couldn't quite jump high enough. So it grazed the top of his head and hit the post and went to Kawano, who... You have to move it back. So that was, you know, those kind of bad bounces happen when you're in a bad run of form. It's exactly what keeps happening to Gunma. They keep getting this kind of bad luck. Whereas, Kawano, he was really impressive for Yamaguchi. I thought his second goal was a well taken. It was a good shot, good finish. And I thought that Wakatsuki, who you mentioned as well, he was heavily involved too. He and Kawano were linking up quite well, and that was good to see.
Kylie Shimbo's set pieces were all really good as well in this game.
He's been playing well for them this year as well. He's been involved in the attacks. He's been putting in some good crosses and causing trouble for opposing fullbacks and things like that. So that's good to see. You mentioned the comparing with last year. The Gunma's last year was an exceptional year for them. And it looks like Yamaguchi are on course for a similar kind of season. And it's too early perhaps to think about it now, but what they've got to be careful of is that they don't go down, they don't have, it can't be a flash in the pan like Tochigi 2019, maybe Kumamoto 2022, Gunma 2023, one good year, but then revert to the norm of lower mid-table or relegation battle. But yeah, we're only 10 games into the season and they're having fun, so why not just enjoy it while it lasts?
Very well said.
Speaking of enjoying things, let's move on to most Bravo player. Before we come to you on that, the J-League announced its winners of the February-March awards, manager, player, goal and young player of the month and a bit. I don't think that's the official title. Manager was Kiyama of Okayama. And best player was Gleison, also of Okayama. Best goal was Matthias Jesus of Nagasaki for his goal in match day 5 against Ehime. And the young player was another Nagasaki player, Hayato Tanaka, who we were talking before we started recording. He hasn't really, we haven't really noticed him much, which is probably a good thing, perhaps for a defender. But now that he's been rewarded, I'm sure we'll start to focus on him more. So congratulations to those guys. But the real prize is, John, most Bravo player for round 10. Any honourable mentions, and who's your overall choice?
Yeah, thanks for letting me go first. Plenty of impressive performances, loads of goals, weren't there in round 10? So it was a difficult choice. Yes, that's right. Well, on that subject, I think Edegaard Junior has to have an honourable mention because he got a hat trick.
Yeah,
I think, you know, scoring a hat trick kind of puts you in the run-in for most Bravo player automatically. So it's a bit of a lazy mention, but he scored a hat trick in 47 minutes, which is not bad. Yeah. You know, tempered by that is the fact he didn't have to, probably not the hardest three goals he's ever going to score. so you have to bear that in mind. I also thought, and I'm not sure, perhaps you might have given this player a most Bravo already. So Shuichi Gonda was excellent for Shimizu, and I do feel guilty about kind of picking on him earlier on in the season when he was playing, his form was poor. I think, considering that Shimizu only ended up winning 3-2 at Iwaki, his role was vital. Because he did make some really good saves. I think if Edgar Junior hadn't scored, Nagasaki would still have battered Tokushima, but Gonda made a huge difference, I think, to the result in the Shimizu game. And other honourable mentions, well, Yamaguchi were really impressive, so I think you've already mentioned, I thought Wakatsuki was really good. I thought Shimbo's set plays were a constant menace, and Gunma are quite strong defending those, so that was good to see. But my actual pick is Kota Kawano from Yamaguchi, because he scored twice. He doesn't score very often. I think he only got 5 last year in 34 games. And he hasn't scored at all this season, apart from this brace in round 10. Obviously, the first goal, I could have scored myself, but he was in the right place, so we give him some credit. The second goal, for a player that is not a prolific scorer, and, you know, you're racing clean through, you know, on your left side, big goalkeeper coming out to narrow down the angle for you. I thought he took that goal really confidently. It was a brilliant finish, as you alluded to when we were talking about that game. And I think, how can I put this? I think we're going to get a lot of chances to give Nagasaki and Shimizu players awards this season on a weekly basis. Yamaguchi maybe less so, and they are flying under the radar a little bit. So I think it's got to be Kota Kawano for me this week. And he sort of led the team to victory because he scored the first two goals, and that gave him the platform to go on and make it 4-0. So, yeah, we're well done to him. But James, how about you?
Yeah, well, I think you could choose a lot of players from Nagasaki, but the caveat is that they were only playing against Tokushima. Tsubasa Kasayanagi, I thought, we mentioned him earlier as well. He was really, really good for them. A really nicely taken goal, generally terrorising quite an experienced defender as well. So honourable mention for him. Harumi Minamino of Tochigi, a couple of goals. For a team that doesn't score many goals against Mito in that draw. And Taiga Ishiura of Ehime as well, goal and an assist. He's been playing quite well, I think, the last few weeks for Ehime. But my choice is the same as yours, Kota Kawano. He led by example, 2 goals. Yeah, first, okay, it bounced off him, but like you said, right place, right time. No one else was standing there. He was standing there. That's why it's his goal. Second goal was really well taken. He linked up well with Wakatsuki. I think he's my choice as well. So well done. Well done, Kota Kawano. I hadn't given one to Gonda yet this year, but I did. I think I gave him an honourable mention the other week.
He's getting closer. He's getting closer.
Yeah. He's playing well, I agree. And we were critical of him before, but that's because he wasn't playing very well, or perhaps not as well as he should have done for someone of his experience. But yeah, he's playing well. Shimizu are playing well, and that's why they're top. So yeah, but yeah, glory for Yamaguchi and Kota Kawano. Now, let's talk about the games coming up at the weekend. We've got round 11. Pleasingly, split 5 games on Saturday and 5 on Sunday, but all at 2 o'clock. So you still have to choose one game on Saturday and one game on Sunday to watch live anyway. So let's talk about Saturday games first. Saturday 20th of April. We've got Yamagata against Ehime, Kofu against Gunma, Shimizu versus Sendai, Fujieda against Tokushima, and Okayama against Kumamoto. What's your pick for Saturday?
Good question. I think this is a really good personality test for any J2 watchers, because do you like football or do you like big boy football? Because if you like football, you're going to have to watch Shimizu against Sendai. That's first versus fifth. It's going to be, I would imagine the stadium will be sold out or pretty close.
I think it is. And,
yeah, you're going to see two teams who are, you know, up at the top end of the table going at it. I would also add, I don't think we've seen the very best of either of these teams yet this season. No. I think there's more to come for both of them, and this will be a great time to demonstrate that. So I think that could be a big game. If you prefer the squeaky bum side of things, Fujieda against Tokushima, 18th against 20th. Tokushima ragged beyond belief away at Nagasaki in the previous round. They have to have a reaction of some kind. And Fujieda, I was at Mitsuzawa to see Yokohama FC beat them 2-0 at the weekend. They didn't really do anything especially badly, but they didn't do anything especially well either. They were very kind of vanilla in that sense, and they kind of let the game just sort of drifted away from them. They will be looking to put that right against Tokushima, both teams down at the bottom. So that could be a big one. But yeah, what do you think, James? Are you a football or big boy football for you?
Football or anti-football? Those are the two those are the two games that I highlighted as well. Although I also thought that Yamagata against Ehime might be interesting, because Ehime are one of the form teams of the division at the moment, unbeaten in five, whereas Yamagata are very inconsistent again. Only 13th, win-loss. So I think that will be an interesting one. Shimizu Sendai, that's going to be great. Two very well supported teams. They're going to pack out that stadium. It's going to be a good game, I think. A good game of football. Fujieda Tokushima, both in the relegation zone, both desperate already. I don't know who's going to win, but I think it will be interesting. Might not be very enjoyable, but it will be interesting. Let's move on to Sunday then, shall we? Sunday the 21st, another five games all at 2 o'clock. Jeff against Akita, Yamaguchi versus Mito, Nagasaki play Yokohama FC, Oita take on Iwaki, and Kagoshima play Tochigi. Where's your attention going to be on Sunday?
This is a boring and predictable answer, so apologies, but Nagasaki against Yokohama FC looks good to me. Second against fourth, and you've got like one of the hottest attacks going in Nagasaki against the Yokohama FC defence, which is pretty solid. And often, speaking as a sort of fan, it's quite agonising to watch just how much territory and possession we do let the other team have at times. So I'm hoping that they are a bit more aggressive against Nagasaki. Don't really want to give them all of the ball and all of the play. But I think this will be a really, really good test for Yokohama FC. Who, again, in the Shimizu and Sendai category, there must be more to come from Yokohama FC than what we've seen so far. They did win against Fujieda the weekend, but it wasn't a great game by any stretch of the imagination. Nagasaki are playing so well, eight games unbeaten. They'll obviously fancy their chances of knocking off a promotion rival, top six rival. So I think that's where the box office is on Sunday. But what do you think, James?
Yeah, I put that one as my main choice. I had two big hitters, I think, really. And yeah, like I said, I don't think Yokohama FC have really hit their straps yet. They're going along well, and they're in fourth, which is good. They've only lost twice. I think, yeah, their defence is good. And I think that means it will be a test for Nagasaki's attack, which seems pretty free scoring. But I mean, they just play Tokushima. So seems like this year most teams are free scoring against Tokushima. They're really down on Tokushima this week, deservedly so.
Yeah, no one to blame but themselves, really.
Well, yeah. And I think also Yamaguchi against Mito is interesting, partly because I'm really enjoying watching Yamaguchi this year. I always, you know, it's nice to see one of the unfancied teams kind of flying high, and I just quite enjoy their style.
I strongly agree. They've got no money and no resources, but they're able to produce a very, very competent, attractive football. And I think a lot of other teams can look at that and, you know, look at themselves and say, well, if Yamaguchi can produce wins and good performance in J2, anybody can. Sorry, I talked over you there. Sorry.
I completely agree. And I think that's very well put. Speaking of producing wins, though, their opponents, Mido, I think it might be time to declare them this season's draw specialists.
Oof.
In the time-honoured tradition, following on from Fagiano Okayama last year and Tokushima the year before, they've drawn half their games already. They've drawn their last five, actually. They're on quite a run. They should have won at the weekend, though. Teranuma missed that penalty. They could have beaten Tochigi. But they did look... they looked better in attack from what I saw in that game compared to leading up to that. Now they've got Atsushi Kurokawa. Seems like they've got an extra something going forward. So I think it will be interesting to see how they get on now. He's sort of bedding in a bit more. And hopefully, that will give them something going forward.
Mm.
Now, just one more thing we need to talk about before we go. Wednesday the 24th, there are some more matches in the second round of the Levan Cup. There are five games involving J2 teams. These are all 7 o'clock kickoffs. There's Katale Toyama against Shimizu S-Pulse, Akita against Shonan, Kumamoto play Tosu, Gunma take on Kashiwa, and then there's one all J2 match, Okayama against Yokohama FC. What do you think about these matches, John?
I think we are planning to round up all of the round two Levan Cup action next time. So we're not going to mention the round two games that have been played already just yet. But I think the J3 teams had a tough time, I think it's fair to say, in round two. They often had games against J1 sides. They found that harder going than against J2 in round one. From the games coming up, I think Toyama will be looking forward to the game against Shimizu. But I do think Shimizu will probably be too strong. But I'm sure Toyama will enjoy themselves. Didn't they beat Kobe in the first round? Is that right? Or in the Emperor's Cup last year?
They took Kobe to extra time. I think they lost.
So they do have some experience of playing a higher ranked opponent, which might stand them in good stead. Okayama against Yokohama FC is all J2, which is kind of boring in the context of the Levan Cup. But Yokohama FC did give Okayama a pretty, a beating in the league a couple of weeks ago. In that was a Wednesday night game in the very heavy rain, if you remember. So Okayama will be out for revenge, and Sven Brodersen in particular might be out for revenge in that one, so it could be interesting. From the games where it's J2 against J1, I can imagine an upset or two potentially. Akita against Shonan looks like where Akita have been going well this season. Shonan always kind of around the bottom of J2, I'd call them bottom of J1 rather, kind of a J1.5 team. In a sense, so Akita might fancy their chances. Kumamoto Tosu, it's a Kyushu derby. I think Kumamoto have beaten Tosu in the past in the Emperor's Cup. Was that last season?
Yeah, last year.
So the chance for history to be repeated there. Gunma against Kashiwa, of course. Gunma doing quite poorly in J2 so far. Cup game is perhaps a different context. Chance to maybe play with a bit less pressure. If they could beat Kashiwa, I think that's least likely of these shocks to actually happen. But if they do, that could give them a, we use the word springboard for league form when we were talking about Tokushima in round one, weren't we? That didn't go to plan. So perhaps Gunma can beat Kashiwa or even just put in a good performance, and run Kashiwa close. That might help them out in the league as well. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think what we saw in the last couple of years in the Emperor's Cup, like Kumamoto and Kofu both did well while doing quite badly in the league. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Gunma can do all right in the cup while still stinking out J2. But Kashiwa seem to be doing okay at the moment in J1. So it's not going to be easy, obviously. And Yeah, I agree. I think Akita versus Shona, I think probably Akita have a good or as good a chance as anyone. I think they're playing quite well. We know that they're a solid team. They're on a good run of form, aren't they? So there's a reasonable chance for them. Ikumoto, they know how to do it in the cup, don't they? And they know how to beat Tosu in the cup because they did it last year. And so that's... again, it will be interesting. We have Kumamoto's defence is a bit dodgy, but they've got a lot of kind of vibrant, young, attacking players. So I think it could be fun. Okayama, Yokohama FC. Yeah, can Yokohama FC do it on a wet Wednesday night in Okayama again? No, it might not be wet. But the last time, they were fairly comfortable, weren't they? So let's see how it goes this time, whether Okayama have learned anything. And yeah, of course, Toyama Shimizu, that would be amazing if Toyama could beat Shimizu. They almost beat Kobe in the cup. I think it was last year. I can't really remember. And so, yeah, as listeners will hear about from Mike in due course, the J3 teams had a harder time of it in this round than they did in the first round, as you would expect. Mm. But there's always hope, isn't there?
Very much so.
Yeah, so on that positive note, after quite a lot of negativity, most of it Tokushima's fault, let's say goodbye for now. Thanks, John. It's always a pleasure to chat about J-League with you.
Yeah, no, same, James. And just as ever, games that we didn't cover in chat form on the pod, I will try and post some quick kind of, you know, John's sort of past notes in the Discord chat. So we'll look out for those if you joined our Discord.
Yeah, and if you haven't joined it yet, I'll put the link in the episode description again. So feel free to follow that and sign up. It's quite a nice little chat we've got going on various aspects of Japanese football. And thanks to everyone who listens. Thanks to Patreons for supporting us. We really appreciate that. And enjoy your football, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.